in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday. It is good to fellowship together with food, amen, and to drink from the same spirit on Wednesday, amen. What's special about Wednesday? Nothing, the middle of the week, so it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you, amen. And I was just thinking, I enjoyed my son Devin being here so much last week, in Radiant Church, the college group, and that was just fun, wasn't it? That was really fun. Amen and amen. So I wanted to mention that. If keep me in prayer, I'm going to be preaching outside of the church for the first time in my entire life. And I'm almost 56. My goodness, you can get lost up here in Chino Valley. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to be preaching at a conference, Army Conference, Association of Related Ministers International, through Andrew Womack. I just want to mention that for you guys don't know what we're affiliated with, but it's a conference called Fresh Fire. So it's going to be on the last Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It's going to be in Mesa, Pastor Freddie's church. If any of you wanted to go for any of the meetings, I can give you details. But I'm going to be speaking the afternoon on Friday, so I think that's perfect. I said, give me an inspicuous time slot on Friday, and I'll be just happy with that. So I already have a name of my sermon. It's going to be Fan the Flame. Yes. Fan the Flame. Because my thing, as the Lord was speaking to me on that, and I promise I'll get to session 31, chapter 5, in just a minute. But my thing is just, you know, getting stoked up or drinking of the Spirit or being on fire for God. But my thing is after you leave, you do not want to lose it. And so the Lord put on my heart what to preach on not losing it. Amen? Because we can get, have you ever been fired up in God? I'm kind of fired up right now, to be honest. That time of worshiping together just fires me up. But I want to be fired up or walk in that same fire on Monday. Beautiful Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Amen. So the Lord just put it on my heart what to preach about fanning the flame for that particular conference. Amen. So keep it in prayer. Amen. John chapter 5, John session 31. Right, Bill? I got it right. Session 31, right? Okay. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to cover two verses tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to make some big tracks. Mr. Rose, some big tracks tonight. But as I was preparing for this, the Lord continued to speak to me about rest and about shadows. Shadows in the Word of God. So that's why we're only going to cover two verses. So we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Word of God. Thank you for encouraging every heart tonight. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God being planted on good soil of our hearts in the name of Jesus. The name above all names we pray. Amen. Amen. And so John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus. Why? Because he was doing these things on a Sabbath. Verse 16. Verse 17. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. And so we know that he was the man, the crippled man, for 38 years by the pool, right? And Jesus went by, and out of all the hundreds, there was probably hundreds by these pools, because once in a while the water would be stirred. And whoever, they said by an angel, and whoever put their hand or their foot or any part of their body into that pool, the first one, and the only one, Rod, was instantly healed. And under the old covenant, remember we talked about under the old covenant, there's just a handful of personal miracles that we read about in the old covenant, in the Old Testament. But when Jesus went on the scene, amen, miracles started breaking out everywhere. All those who came to him, amen, he freed them from the oppression of the devil and healed them of whatever had come against them, amen. Whether sickness or a devil, whatever was going on, whatever was harassing them, God delivered them. And so we know that there were seven miracles that are recorded in the Bible that were on the Sabbath that always raised a stink with the religious leaders. And I want to focus a little bit because he says, my Father is working. This was Jesus' answer to them. My Father is working. I myself am working. You know, I wanted to go back real quick to God when he made creation and when he rested from making creation. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. You guys know this scripture, so these scriptures, but it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. So Jesus, God had, well, Jesus too, amen. God had finished creating the heavens and the earth. And it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. You know, today you and I may or may not have a particular day we elevate above another. Amen. A lot of us that we come together for church on Sunday. Amen. So that might be a day that we kind of elevate. Amen. But, you know, as under Jewish law, that wouldn't even be the Sabbath. That's not the seventh day of the week. It would be Saturday, if I'm doing my math right, if I'm counting right, Mr. Butterfast, that seventh day would be Saturday. Amen. But yet we can elevate a day. A lot of us like to elevate Monday, right? Those of you whose Monday is your favorite day of the week, Mr. Harris, we elevate Monday, amen? So when people say, thank God it's Friday, we say, I know Monday's going to be here soon. Thank you, Jesus. I'm feeling good tonight. Amen. And I didn't even have a dessert. So, but today you and I may or may not have a particular day we elevate above another. But at any time of day or night, listen, saints, whether looking at the stars or the beauty of the sky or the clouds, amen, or oceans or mountains or the beautiful desert, I can say, wow, God, the beauty of your creation. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. See, he had rested from all his work, not because God was depleted, but he rested and said, look at what I have made. Look at what I have created for my glory. And so when he rested, he said, look at what I've done. Amen. And for you and I now, when we are resting in him, really we're resting in his glory. Any time of day or night, I can look at the stars and say, wow, that's a Sabbath moment. That's a time where you can rest and say, God, I believe that you made the heavens. I believe you made the stars. I believe that you've made everything. Wow, God, I give you the glory. And resting in that, knowing, God, the God who made all of that is watching over me. The God who made stars that are many, 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 many times bigger than our little sun. That God loves me, and that God lives in me. Isn't it amazing? And so I can rest on him right there, glorifying God, looking at his creation. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 40 and 41 says this. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars different from star in glory. Amen? You know, at different times of years, right, you get apps on your phone, you can see all these beautiful stars, just the riches, the glory of how they look. And then you'll see some that are in the distance, you can't really see them, or maybe from our vantage point, or from that time of the year, you can't really see their glory like you would another part of the year. So what is the point? The Sabbath rest is meant to give glory to God for all that he has done for you and I. Amen. I don't want to forget about him through the week and just give him glory on Sunday. Amen. I want to rest in his glory and his goodness and his grace and his power all the week long. Amen. If we understood, if our emotions could line up with the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, you and I would be in complete rest through the week saying, God, you've got my back. These things that are going on in my life, I know you're going to take care of them. I know you're going to provide for me. I know you're going to give me strength. I know you're going to lead and guide me. Amen. All that is pertaining to me in Christ Jesus, he is there. And my job is to trust him and to give him glory. Giving him glory. Living in the Sabbath. The whole Sabbath thing was to take time and say, God, you've got this. wow, God, what you've done for me. Wow, God, what you've done for my family. Just think of those things that God has done for you and that he's going to do for you, amen, that he's going to do for me, amen. And those times I can rest in his glory. Say, thank you, Jesus, amen. Amen and amen. He walks outside of time. And you and I, we live in time, so we're stuck in time, aren't we? But God, who lives outside of time, knows the date of that thing that you're dealing with right now is going to come to an end. He knows the time and the season when things are going to change in a particular area of your life. He knows that. He sees outside of time. So our thing is to trust him in faith, because faith lives outside of time. Amen. Amen and amen. Even in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, there were those who believed and did not see what they had faith for, but it still came about. They were long gone, but it still came about because they lived, because they walked by faith, lived by faith, and even though they died and went on, God, who lives outside of time, said, it's an appointed time still. You may not see it here on earth, but you know they saw it from heaven. Amen. An appointed time for everything. Isn't that what Solomon said? An appointed time for everything. You know, the thing is, it's hard to rest when we wait for appointed times in our lives. Amen? It's hard to rest. It's hard to trust God. But that Sabbath rest is, Lord, I'm giving you glory. He who made the heavens, he who made the stars, he who made the glory of even you and I, flesh, there's a glory in the flesh. There's a certain glory of everything God made. So even being thankful, saying, God, thank you for me. Saying, Lord, thank you that you made me. Regardless of how you look in the mirror, amen? How good, or I won't go there, I'm sorry. But to look in the mirror and say, thank you, Jesus, for me. Thank you, Jesus. To be able to look in the mirror and say, you know, I like what I see. That takes faith, huh? Amen. Some of us to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for me. Wow. Thank you for making me, Lord. Thank you for putting me here on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for that during this time, 2022? I forget what year sometimes we're in. But in 2022, thank you that I live in such a time as this. Amen. That God, you knew the times and the seasons and the dates of when I would be walking on this earth. You knew that before the creation of the earth. You knew what I would go through. You knew that you would get me through it. You knew my struggles, my failures, but yet you never left me, never forsook me. And here I am, glorying in him who made the stars, who made the earth, who made me. And I can, in a Sabbath rest, say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. Amen. Rest is this. Part of the rest is this. Rest is this. We were made for his glory. Did you know you were made for his glory? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7 says this. Everyone who is called by my name, and I don't know about you, but I'm called by, if you're called by his name, can you wave? Throw your hands way up in the air. Amen. Thank you. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. What is rest, man? What is rest is knowing that he made you for a purpose. Every gift, every talent, the weaknesses, all that, he's aware of all of those things, but yet you and I were made for his glory. Amen. Made for his glory, and say, Lord, I know you put me on this earth, and I know I work and support a family and I do those things. Did you know that's part of the glory? Taking care of family is glorious. Taking care of one another, that is glorious. That is part of the glory. That is part of the thing that God put within you and I to take care of one another. Amen. I was created for his glory. Whom I have formed, God said, even whom I have made. I can rest. The rest is this. Lord, you made me for a purpose. You put me here for a purpose. And I just have to trust you and let you lead me and love others. And you're the one that'll open the door. You're the ones that'll lead me with desire. As in Psalms 37 says, he will give you the desires of your heart. We rest in this. We have his support. Did you know that we have his support? 2 Chronicles 16, 8 and 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 8 and 9 says this. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army? He's talking to Israel, God is, with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because you relied on the Lord. Amen. How many people here are relying on the Lord? He gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give what kind of support? Strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. Blameless is saying, Lord, I trust you. I can't do it in my strength. Thank you for washing my sins away in your blood. Thank you for forgiving me, Father God. Thank you for doing a work in me. I trust you. Lord, you're not only my crutch, you're my everything. I lean on you. I trust you. You are my strength. You're my grace. You're my power. That is what it is to have a blameless heart towards him. So God isn't resting on any day of the week. Did you know that? God isn't resting on any day of the week. He's always working on our behalf. Listen, saints, you know that song. What is that song? Even when I don't see it, he's working. I love that song, don't you? That's a true statement. That's biblical, amen? Our God isn't resting on any day of the week. He's always working on our behalf, amen? If we let him. When I rest, listen, I love this. When I rest, he works. When I work, he rests. When I'm doing it on my own strength. Amen? But when I'm trusting him, resting in him, God is always at work. Amen? So our rest is what? Is trusting him. For our salvation, amen? For our righteousness, for our provision, for our strength, for our peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our work in the kingdom comes out of purpose, eternal purpose, for his glory. For his glory. Isn't it wonderful, saints, to be made for his glory? For the glory of the Father. It's an honor to say and to be able to say, Lord, I was made for your glory. Use me for your glory. Help me to glorify you in the way I respond to people. Lord, help me to glorify you in my home. Help me to glorify you, Lord, in the way I treat others and so forth. Man, we were made to bring him glory. Hallelujah. See, the Sabbath day in the law was just a shadow of the substance, and that substance was Jesus. Amen? Was Jesus. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in shadows. So let's talk about shadows a little bit. So I know I've read this scripture a few times, but it's something I think we need to keep reading, make sure it's in our soul, right? In our soul realm. So here's Colossians 2, 14 through 17. This is Paul. So he's saying he's having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. What is it? That's the law, amen? Which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way. Amen. Taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Amen. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. You know what I have to say? You know why they were mocking Jesus? They killed him. In the natural, it looked like Jesus was defeated, right? But in the supernatural, he was disarming principalities and powers. He was making a mockery out of the Satan. He was making a mockery out of captivity captive. Amen. He was all those principalities and powers that were set up around the world. He made a mockery out of them, and it says he disarmed them. Amen. So while on the earth it looked like Jesus, amen, Jesus was defeated, in the supernatural, he was absolutely defeating and making a mockery of Satan himself. Amen. It says a display of them having triumphed over them through him. Amen. Therefore, no one is to act. This is good scripture. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to what? Your judge in regard to food and drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Amen. Let me read that again. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs in Christ. Amen. So that thing where we're talking about him being the Sabbath for us every day. Amen. Him, our lives being for his glory is what brings us rest. Amen. If we're made for his glory, whose job is it to lead and guide us? Amen. It's his job. Amen. Remember, he's the one. He says, I'm working now. See, the world casts a shadow, but there's no substance there. Amen. People come and go. Famous people come and go. People who present themselves as being happy but are miserable. Amen. There's no substance there. So the world casts a shadow, but there's no substance there. Death casts a shadow, but it has no substance. Meaning a shadow, no matter how big, how dark, has no finality. Amen. You and I may pass away, but we're with the Lord instantly. Amen. Death is the final sting, but that's going to be destroyed. But every shadow that talks about in the Old Testament is now brought to life in Jesus Christ. Psalms 23:4, let me read this, says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. Let me read another one, Hebrews 10:1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Just a shadow, amen? The law was just a shadow of what would be realized and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, amen? Amen and amen. James 1:7 says, Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or what? Or shifting shadow. Amen. You know, remember when you were a kid, you would see your shadow, right? You could be out in the sun, you would see your shadow. Remember Peter Pan, he would chase his shadow. So that you could, but you can't have a relationship with a shadow. My grandkids could see my shadow, but it's not the substance. And see, what it's talking about, the law is saying, hey, this is a shadow. You see something, but you really, there's no substance there. Until Jesus Christ arrived on the scene, it was only a shadow, only something to predict what would come. But there was no relationship. There was no warmth. There was no his Holy Spirit living in you because the substance hadn't come yet. Amen. So how do people live in shadows today? Justified by my good works. My sacrifice even for the kingdom. Let me say this. There is a good sacrifice for kingdom when you're walking in his glory, what he has for you. But when you're sacrificing for the kingdom because somehow you're trying to earn his love, then that is chasing after shadows. There is no substance there because he loves you right where you're at. Amen. The substance is him who lives in you and loves you with an undying love right where you and I are at right now. Amen. So how do people live in shadows today? Justified by those good works, my sacrifice for the kingdom, how I dress. I got to dress a certain way, amen? Anything that would have us look up to Jesus and say, are you happy with me now? How am I doing now? Now, there's a certain point where we can say, Lord, check my heart. But I'm talking about the thing where we're actually... We're not living in the moment with him, his love for us. We're actually chasing a shadow. If you're looking up and saying, Lord, how am I doing? Or are you happy with me? What more do I need to do? What is it that I need to do to earn your love? We don't realize that's really just a shadow. You know, if you were raised with even parents where that was based upon works and it was coldness and there was no love there. You know what I mean? It would be like the relationship was no different than a shadow. That there was no substance and warmth and love and protection and unconditional love. There was no substance there. It was always pursuing something that you would not ever obtain. that's chasing a shadow. Amen. But with Jesus Christ, the substance, by faith, justified freely by his grace, we're not chasing shadows now. We're not trying to perform. The substance has arrived. He took all those things that were against us and nailed them to the cross. Those things were hostile towards us. Amen? They were hostile to us. They were nailed to the cross. And if we put our faith in that, he says, you are 100% accepted in my kingdom as my son or my daughter. That is now the substance. Amen? Nor pursuing things out of work. No more shadows. No more hoping. No more saying, I hope that what I'm doing satisfies him. It's saying, Lord, you have taken all of sin. You have satisfied the wrath of God against sin. It was all on the cross, and now the substance has come, and now I can rest completely in you, in your goodness. I want a little bit more as I get going. I want to finish up. There's a few scriptures here about Moses I think are just absolutely fascinating. In Exodus chapter 33, 12 through 14, and see, Israel had kept rebelling, amen, and they kept just doing their own thing. And God finally said, "Hey, look, I'll send my cloud. I'll send that my fire by night, the fire by day, and the fire by night, and the cloud by day. But I'm not going to go with you personally. I'm not going to go with you." And so this is the conversation that Moses has with God. He says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, I find it interesting that Moses could talk to God.'" I remember I was reading when he's first called, when he sees the burning bush, and he goes into Egypt, and he says, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh says, "Fat chance." And he says, "Here, you guys get to make bricks without straw now." And Moses says to God, saying, "Hey, man, you tell me you're going to deliver the people, but you ain't done nothing yet." And just the way that he would talk to God, amen? He was talking to God like this, like, "It wasn't my idea that I even be here. I was perfectly okay, with those sheep or whatever he's with, the herds, with my father-in-law, my wife, and my two kids." Anyway, then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people.'" Can you imagine he's talking this way? "But you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me." Who's going to go with this, Lord? Moreover, you said, I have known you by name." This is Moses talking to God. "You have said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now then, if I have found favor in your sight, in any way, please let me know your ways so that I may know you, in order that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. See, what I like about this verse, he said, he had split the Red Sea. Many miracles have been done by Moses. But he says this to him, "If I found favor in your sight, please let me know your ways so that I may know you." Rest comes from knowing him. See, he'd seen all the miracles. He had performed a lot of miracles. But Moses said, "It's not enough. I want to know your ways. I want to know the substance. I've seen the shadows. I seen the power of you, the Red Sea. I seen the water coming out of a rock. I seen where I threw the tree in the water. It was bitter, and now it's not no longer bitter. I've seen all the miracles," he says, "but I don't know you." You know what, with the Lord Jesus today, let me just say this. We want his power. We want to see his miracles. But the first thing God wants from our heart, he wants a heart that says, "Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your ways. If I can know your ways, then I know I will walk in rest." Amen. Lord, I pray that we would want to know your ways. We would want to know your ways, Lord, the way you think, the way you feel about things. Lord, the way that you respond to things, I want to be that way. Lord, show me. Lord, I want to see your miracles, and we need miracles, and you still do miracles. But Lord, even deeper, underneath all of that, I want to know you. I don't want to just see shadows. I don't just want to be in the shadows of what you're doing. I don't want to be outside the circle, Lord. I want in that circle with you. I want to know your goodness. I want to know your love. I want to know your heart for people around me, Father God. I can't have that just through miracles. It's through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit's heart being shared with you and I. And he says, okay, Moses, amen. He says, I will give you rest. See, up to this time, I think Moses had been very, very frustrated, even as he walked in miracles. Amen? Even as he did many miracles, even as he saw the power of God, even as he's getting the Ten Commandments and seeing the fire and all the power of God, he realized it came down to this relationship, a relationship with the Lord, a relationship with the Lord. You know, when you remove all the struggles of mankind and the things that try to pierce our heart, the way we're raised, our experiences, things that have happened, things we wished would have happened, and so forth, under all of that, really, in that is what keeps us from knowing the Lord. Amen? We don't even realize it. We don't realize at the very heart of things, we can trust Him with our hearts 100%. Oh, how He loves you and I. Amen. God is not like a distant father. Amen. He's not like a wrathful father. He's not like a disobedient father. He's not like everybody who has an imperfect father. See, in Him, there's no shifting. I'll say it again like I did Sunday. There's no shifting shadows in Him. He's 100% substance, 100% love, 100% for you, 100% wanting to lead and guide you, but He wants a heart that says, Lord, I want to know you. Amen. Amen and amen. The fire by night and the cloud that cast a shadow by day was not enough for Moses. The conversation with Peter, no more parables, no more shadows, no more sermons. It was this, Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Amen. And Peter said the last time, Lord, you know all things. Amen. At the end, Peter says, Lord, you know all things. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. No more shadows. Now is the substance. And I mentioned before, modern day shadows, any Jewish traditions, to be honest. Circumcision, abstaining from certain foods. Certain day of the week is holy. Certain water or oil is special. If you don't, examples, I'm just giving examples. If you don't anoint your house with oil, it can't be blessed. I used to believe those things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. It just never changed anything, not realizing that I carry the anointing. When I go into a house, I change the atmosphere there. Amen? No special oil, no special water or whatever. The Holy Spirit in me is the one that changes. See, there's those other things. I'm not saying they're bad, but if we're not careful, they're just a shadow. See, the Holy Spirit now living inside me. Amen? The substance is in Christ. Amen and amen. It is now a relationship. If you don't think God likes you or accepts you, you will live your Christian walk in the shadows performing. You will struggle with the works of the flesh, sin, rebellion, anger, resentment, fear, hate, sorrow, etc., until you believe you are deeply loved and accepted by God right here and now. Right where you are at. See, they persecuted Jesus regarding the Sabbath because they had absolutely no idea of the heart of God and His only Son, Jesus. It was all ceremonial, nothing less, nothing more. It was all ceremonial. I've been asking my Father, what shadows do I still operate in? I'm asking the Lord, my Lord and Savior, I said, Lord, what areas do I in my life that I don't realize that are still not the substance, shadows. Does that make sense? Yeah. Things, if I'm walking, I've come to realize if I'm walking in any anxiety and fear, there's an area of my heart still that I don't know Him, that He hasn't penetrated yet. I know that's the case. Any area of my life where there's no rest, I'm still walking in a shadow. And he's the one that has to show me that. Amen? Can you stand up with me? Amen? Are you awake? Can you stand up? Is that okay? Was that okay to say? Amen? I think it's okay to say, Lord, what areas of my life could I still be walking in shadows? Not the substance, not the real deal, not the victory, not the strength, not the peace, still operating just out of whatever in my life. Any area, I'm realizing, any area that I don't have that peace, Lord, I don't know you in that area yet, but I want to, amen? I said I want to. If I'm still breathing, then there's still things God wants to do in me. There's still things he wants to reveal in me. There's still things he wants to show me. I want to be like, don't you? I mean, we're in another covenant, but I still want to have that heart like he had. Now then, if I have found favor in your sight, and I have found favor in his sight in any way, please let me know your ways so that I may know you. Lord Jesus, continue to reveal your goodness to us. Lord, continue to reveal your grace. Continue to set us free. Lord, continue to bring peace in areas where there's anxiety or frustration or bondage. I pray that your grace and your peace, Lord, in those areas of our lives, you would just set us free. Lord, we belong to you. Lord, we're made for your glory. Lord, we want to bring you glory in our lives in every area. Father, we love you and we worship you and we praise you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your anointing. Lord, but the anointing lives in us, Lord God. It is you, the person of Jesus Christ living within us. Lord, help us to understand what it means that we're seated with you in heavenly places. Lord, I don't even think we quite understand what that means. Show us your goodness, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.